I truly think a Bitcoin Rewards credit card will be a top three Bitcoin product of all time. And that's only behind the Bitcoin exchange and the Bitcoin ETF. The credit card just represents such an incredible avenue for Bitcoiners for a couple reasons. You know, it's pure Gresham's law. You know, you are getting to spend bad money on credit and to earn Bitcoin, the hardest money available, and build your savings that way. And so it is a perfect alignment of incentives. Everybody has a credit card. 95% of our customers today have a credit card. And we've seen what our customers have done with the debit card, our checking account stack, our Bitcoin exchange. And this is really the missing piece, or really the toolkit that is kind of the ultimate Bitcoiner's toolkit that allows you to maximize exposure, maximize accumulation of Bitcoin, at the same time of maintaining your connectivity to the rest of the world and to do the things you need to do.
Greetings and salutations, my fellow plebs. My name is Walker, and this is the Bitcoin Podcast. The Bitcoin time chain is 883356, and the value of one Bitcoin is still one Bitcoin. Today, my guest is Will Reeves, the CEO of Fold. Fold just opened up their waitlist for their Bitcoin Rewards credit card. You can head to the show notes right now and grab the link to jump on that waitlist, which I personally just did because I cannot wait to earn Bitcoin while spending my dirty fiat. Will and I dug deep into how broken the current credit card reward system is, how their Bitcoin Rewards card fixes this, Fold's upcoming move to become a publicly traded Bitcoin company, Bitcoin treasury strategies, where we're at in this adoption cycle, and a whole lot more. Before we dive into, me a quick favor and subscribe to the Bitcoin Podcast wherever you are listening, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube or Rumble as well by searching for Walker America. And if you find this show valuable, consider giving it a zap on Noster or a boost on Fountain. You can find me on Noster at primal.net/walker and this podcast at primal.net/titcoin. Without further ado, let's get into this Bitcoin talk with Will Reeves. Will, welcome. Good to have you on here. Big day for Fold. How are you holding up?
It's a great day. Very, very excited. It's been a long time since you and I've been able to speak. So lots of catching up to do. But yeah, today's great. We just announced what I think is probably the most anticipated and most requested product at Fold. So our Bitcoin Rewards credit card is finally here. So excited to share it with the world.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I am super stoked about this, the rewards credit card. I was actually quite a fan of the BlockFi Bitcoin rewards credit card until I wasn't, because BlockFi obviously had some big issues. And luckily, I was able to get the sats that I had earned out of there. But I thought like that was it was a nice product when they had it. Obviously, they had a bunch of other mismanagement issues that I don't think are present at Fold, but like the market seems to have really been craving something like this, and you guys have now brought it out. I mean, I assume the reception so far has looked, people seem pretty excited about this. They're kind of sick of their typical credit card rewards. I'm guessing that's kind of the feedback you're getting.
Yeah, I think there's been pent up demand for this since the BlockFi card, went away. And I think that card was one of the, best Bitcoin products that has ever existed. And it's unfortunate, like you said, that it went under due to other aspects of that business. But, that team, that card, and I'd like to say this too, because a few of the members who built that card are actually on Fold's team, bringing this to market, getting their kind of round two. And I truly think a Bitcoin Rewards credit card will be a top three Bitcoin product of all time. And that's only behind the Bitcoin exchange and the Bitcoin ETF. The credit card just represents such an incredible avenue for Bitcoiners for a couple reasons. You know, it's pure Gresham's law. You know, you are getting to spend bad money on credit and to earn Bitcoin, the hardest money available, and build your savings that way. And so it is a perfect alignment of incentives. Everybody has a credit card. 95% of our customers today have a credit card. And we've seen, you know, what our customers have done with the debit card, our checking account stack, our Bitcoin exchange. And this is really the missing piece for really the toolkit that is kind of the ultimate Bitcoiner's toolkit that allows you to maximize exposure, maximize accumulation of Bitcoin at the same time of, you know, maintaining your connectivity to the rest of the world and to do the things you need to do.
Can we talk for a sec? Because I was reading the press release you guys had come out, and you had one quote in there. They were quoting you directly. "We aim to dethrone miles as the go-to credit card reward." And I was just thinking about it. I was like, when did miles become this kind of go-to thing? Like, why was it that airline miles, all the credit cards were like, "Yep, well, this is what we're going to give you." Because in my opinion, it's like airline miles, sometimes they're convenient, but it's also like, they're worse than fiat. Like, they're a fiat, like, derivative of a derivative. They can just create them. They can change the exchange rate whenever they want. Like, they're actually kind of a scam. Like, how did that come to be the go-to?
It's a truly amazing story, because at some point, the airline miles completely re-energized the credit card industry, and in a big way has become like a cultural phenomenon. People, you know, flexing on what lounges they're in, or having some direct brand affinity because they're a Delta holder, or a, you know, who knows what it is. And it's settled in this really deep way into the American consumer consciousness, and in ways that I don't think the airlines even understood. And the way why you know that is, today most airlines are actually credit card companies masquerading as airlines. Today there are over 30 trillion unredeemed airline miles out there. That represents billions and billions of dollars. And if during COVID, when the airlines were under stress because no one was traveling anymore, their airline mile programs saved them because they took loans out against them. And that essentially kept these airlines afloat, taking loans using the collateral of the outstanding airline miles. So it's one of those things that got very big, transformed an entire industry into something that airline companies are actually credit card companies. And what we've seen, you know, I think at the beginning, it really worked because it was status. It was a reward, whereas before there were really no good options or coherent rewards. There was like dining rewards, there was some hotel points, but flights represented actually a good avenue for giving perks and rewards, especially because you can print miles out of nowhere. And so they loved this ability. Once you get a money printer, or discover you have a money printer, that's when things start to, people can't resist. And so they didn't resist. And today we have 30 trillion unrealized airline miles sitting out there. And at the same time, they have devalued those programs so terribly that the Department of Transportation has all the major airlines are under investigation, because Americans consider their credit card rewards as an integral part of their savings. And so now you have all these Americans relying on these programs, and they're consistently devaluing them 20, 50% each year. And at the same time, they're rolling back all of the prestige, all of the status that was once afforded to the holders of those miles. And so from my perspective, it's incredible. We are aimed to dethrone U.S. airline miles as the preferred consumer reward, replacing with Bitcoin. And at the same time, we're offering a reward that has been increasing in value 60, 70% year over year. And our competition has been devaluing it almost at the same rate, as at the same time has been devaluing the experience. And so as that brand erodes, I believe Bitcoin is just absolutely poised to become the household preferred consumer reward. And that's a big prize to win, because the largest airline mile cards process 1% of the entire US GDP. So you have people chasing airline miles so fervently that they're pushing 1% of US GDP through these credit cards. And Fold, I believe, has a real opportunity to make this cultural shift, bringing people to Bitcoin rewards to truly build savings, at the same time as for Fold as a company to be able to inherit that type of volume. So we're in a good position.
I mean, I actually did not know the airline miles situation was that, let's say, extreme. I didn't know that it was that massive of, I mean, it just kind of seems like a racket though, because they can, you know, change the redemption qualification, change all these things. You know, anytime you try to use miles, it's like, oh no, you can't apply it to that flight, or it'll apply to this flight, but it'll cost you twice as much. Like, they're just gaming it constantly. And it just seems like kind of a big scam. So, I mean, given the addressable market then that you guys are looking at, like if we just look at airline rewards there and trying to kind of dethrone that, unseat that, are you guys really also, you know, this isn't just a product for people who are already hardcore Bitcoiners. You're looking at actually kind of doing some orange pilling through this. Like, as people are looking for new, you know, credit card reward programs, they're shopping around, you're hoping to kind of situate yourself as a new alternative that hasn't really existed before. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think actually one of the things I'm most excited about this program is that the entire Bitcoin funnel and adoption funnel has really been upended over the last 12 to 18 months. You have, instead of people coming through the exchanges to Coinbase to then get access to some Bitcoin, also a bunch of other tokens are thrown in their face at the same time. Really now what we're seeing is at the top of the funnel is the ETF. The ETF is both establishing a new funnel, a new user base who are coming in, transferring their retirement funds or purchasing Bitcoin ETF via a brokerage. Now, I think that's ultimately great, more exposure for Bitcoin. There are things to be concerned about. And I think this credit card may actually bring some of the solution to that concern. And that's, you know, ultimately as a Bitcoiner and someone who believes that the fundamental value of Bitcoin comes from the ability to self-sovereign hold that value yourself, to be able to transmit and send that to whoever, whenever. That's just not the case with an ETF. You are not holding that in your own custody. You cannot really do anything with the ETF. But this product, I think, is going to be a very, very popular with all the investors who decided, hey, I'm going to put some in retirement in there. I'm going to buy some Bitcoin ETF, IBIT, through my brokerage. And I want my rewards to be in Bitcoin as well. This is, I'm bought into the idea of Bitcoin. Now, the credit card rewards that they're going to earn off of this actually represents an opportunity for them to self-custody Bitcoin for the first time. So whereas they may be used to, you know, the ETF and it feels good because it feels like their brokerage, Fold has an opportunity to allow them to earn Bitcoin through another avenue that allows them to directly self-custody. And I think that's going to lead to a transformation in how they look at their ETF holdings and say, hey, maybe I want some of that in self-custody. And I think there's a great learning element. There's a way to reach an audience that really needs to hear this, and they want the card.
I think it's kind of an incredible new funnel, really, for people. And it is amazing to see this shift, because again, I have not been in Bitcoin that long. I got in like 2020, 2021, you know, this is kind of my first like real cycle, like seeing the start of another cycle, you know? And so this is all still a little bit new for me. I mean, I feel like it's been decades, but like I've only been alive a few decades. So I guess it's just been a couple of years, feels longer. But just seeing in the last, you know, you mentioned the last 12, 18 months, seeing the way that the conversation has shifted to where this isn't just whenever Bitcoin is really pumping or really dumping, it's on the news with some sensationalist headline. It's like, this is key policymakers. This is the president of the United States talking about it. This is, you know, Larry Fink of BlackRock talking about it. This is it feels like a different paradigm that we're in now, where it's just part of the conversation. And you mentioned the self-custody piece, which I think is incredible, because it's like, you can't self-custody fiat unless you can't do it digitally. You can have some under your mattress physically, you can't do it digitally. And you certainly can't take custody of your airline miles. Like, those are really, again, like a fiat derivative in the worst possible way.
Not, and so I think that's your cold, like, card, your airline miles.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe they can issue some sort of support for that. I don't know. We'll have to petition the airlines for it. But I mean, it seems that this is kind of like really like right place, right time to be doing this. And I'm curious too, I mean, just to talk about the specifics of it a little bit, can you just walk through for folks what they actually get out of this card? Like what are the benefits that they're getting? How does this kind of compare to maybe what they're used to in the usual credit card points rewards industry?
Yeah. So our intention with this was to keep it as simple and straightforward as possible. We want to reduce any strain or reason why you would want to switch over your miles to Bitcoin. And so for us, it's a straight 2% unlimited rewards on all purchases. So in addition to that, we are going to have spotlight categories where we currently Fold today has one of the largest networks of Bitcoin rewards merchants out there. So Amazon, Uber, Starbucks are all existing part of it. So you're going to be able to increase your rewards at our partners and during some categories. But what you can expect as a Fold Plus member, so that's a premium subscriber at Fold, you're going to get 2% unlimited. If you want to come in and if just have a free card, you're going to get 1.5% unlimited. And so the idea is that we give you a solid percent back that can really go toe to toe with any card in the market. You're not saying I'm going to, you know, opt for something lower necessarily so I can get Bitcoin. We're going against the biggest credit card companies out there. So we want to maximize that value proposition. So up to 2% unlimited. Our premium tier will also get a free metal card. Again, let's go toe to toe with the status games that are played with the, you know, airline miles and kind of fiat credit cards out there. And then we'll have welcome bonuses that you can earn up to $250 in Bitcoin back based on if you do your Bitcoin buying with us, if you convert your paycheck into Bitcoin with us, if you spend on our debit card, if you use our other services and unlock that, there'll be welcome bonuses. And so it's both familiar, but also just very simple with the idea that it is, you know, maximally available and valuable to what I believe is going to be an addressable market of, you know, tens of millions of people. That's how we're going to get to dethroning airline miles from their current position.
I mean, I love it. And I'm curious if I can ask a little bit, how does that work on the back end for you guys? How do you, you know, are you, whatever you're able to get into, are you guys basically, you know, are you kind of just, I mean, obviously you guys buy a lot of Bitcoin, you give out a lot of Bitcoin, you hold Bitcoin as a treasury, which I want to get into as well. But how do the logistics of this work for you guys as a company so that you can actually make this work, make it sustainable?
Essentially, Fold is a 24/7 buyer of Bitcoin. So we are buying Bitcoin all day, every day, as our customers swipe. So we already have a card program today. We've given away $70 million worth of Bitcoin to our customer base on Fold. If our customers had been using a traditional bank debit card, they would have been earning around to under $20 million. So our customers are directly wealthier, have more savings than their peers simply because they chose Bitcoin and they use Fold. So it is a very simple things to make, and that's true of their savings too. Our customers' savings accounts are outpacing that of their peers by 62%. Bitcoin is the apex predator. You cannot compete with it. And so for the debit card, you know, we have a 1.5% on our top categories. Everything else is going to be 0.5%. The economics on the debit card are a little bit lower. But what we do is we get paid by Visa every single time you swipe your card. So we're taking those payments in, and in real time, we're buying Bitcoin essentially for you. So as you're earning Bitcoin, we are purchasing. So we're always matching liability. We have more Bitcoin than we currently owe to our customers. That's a part of our policy, is to always be over, have more than our current liabilities. And the credit card represents a much larger opportunity, because not only are the economics much better, but you're going to earn a lot more rewards. So for us, Visa is going to pay us every time you swipe that card about 2 times more than they do with our debit card. And we pass that almost 100% on to our customers so that they have a way to not only stack sats on every purchase, what they could do today with Fold, but they can do that on credit, on someone else's dollar, which is, I think, the real unlock in terms of both being a value proposition of saving in Bitcoin as you're spending someone else's fiat. It's perfect.
I mean, that's kind of, it feels like almost a cheat code. Like I can spend this fiat credit and I get to earn Bitcoin by spending that fiat credit. It seems like too good to be true, but like, it's obviously like it's real, like it's happening. And I just feel like this is going to be one of those things where, you know, probably not even that long, 5-10 years, people look back and they're like, you know, wow, like I was able to, you know, put a down payment on my house with my Bitcoin rewards. Like, because that's the thing we're talking about. We're talking about the only true scarce asset out there. And the fact that, again, you can, you know, again, whether or not you detest fiat and think it should, you know, burn in a, you know, massive fire, we, most of us at least, still use fiat in a lot of ways, and particularly credit cards, because they're useful. Whether or not you get much out of that from an like airline miles perspective or whatever else, you know, their cash back conversions, which are always like the worst option that you can choose because they give you even less. Like, this just seems like a better option in general. And so, you know, I'm curious too. So you guys at Fold, you're going to be going public here fairly. I don't know the exact date. I'm not sure if that part is public yet or anything, but is this kind of part of a larger plan? I mean, you guys, I believe, bill yourselves as like a financial services company. So I'm just curious how you see Fold evolving now. I mean, is it the transition to basically being a full service provider of, you know, you do a lot of services already. Now you're adding the credit card. Like, what does that start to look like as Fold goes public and then Fold continues to grow?
So, you know, really where Fold is in evolution is really kind of just, it started with an idea that just continued to build and build and build based on what Bitcoin did and what people have wanted from us. We started from rewards, and our immediate idea was, hey, the real problem is not that people can't spend the Bitcoin. The people is that people don't have enough money for savings at all. The idea of saving in Bitcoin versus dollars is not the right question. It's people don't have money to save. And so Fold was started with the idea of how can we create a passive flow of Bitcoin into someone's portfolio and do that without them actually changing any behaviors, just doing what they do normally. And so this is why we really focused on rewards. This was our foothold, to expand the idea of savings in general to more people. And Bitcoin is the tool that we actually are able to fill it with. And so we started there, that went, and that, you know, really took off from our rewards network. We have incredible partners. We have a debit card that we actually was the first Bitcoin rewards card ever launched. And for us, we saw what our customers were doing. Not only were they earning so much rewards and value in their Bitcoin, they were actually saying, this makes sense not only as a reward, I want to save my money in Bitcoin now. So they asked us to build out our Bitcoin custody and Bitcoin paycheck conversion, a way for them to buy Bitcoin that sits right next to their savings account. And those customers who did that, their savings is outpacing their peers by 60%+. So now they're saying, the rewards are great, the savings are incredible, but now I have all this Bitcoin that represents 50%+ of my net worth, and I can't do anything with it. None of the traditional financial institutions actually allow me to leverage it like I would my fiat. And so for Fold, what we try to do is stay very close to what our customers' present situation is, and they happen to be wealthier, growing wealthier, and more savings than their peers, and they aren't met by anyone in the market with a way to actually fulfill their daily needs, their monthly bill payments, their credit worthiness, access to loans. And so Fold is really always just following our customers, because these customers represent what I believe is the future. People who have chosen to save in Bitcoin as a means of preserving their wealth, as a means of preserving their children's future. And this idea is becoming more and more understood in the mainstream. We now have nation states thinking this way. And so Fold has been, you know, really following what problems do those people have? Why are they some of the wealthiest people you know, but they have problems getting a house? Something is wrong here. And what we see, and these are problems that I've lived personally on the team. I think I know you guys are living this personally in many ways. So staying true to that has brought us to a reality where Fold is a financial services company that puts Bitcoin at the center to give our customers an advantage in life. And it's not accumulate Bitcoin for Bitcoin's sake. It's what does Bitcoin then enable you to do? And for our customers, they want to live better lives. They want to spend more time with their family. They want to open up more opportunities for themselves. They want to expand their business. And Bitcoin is the best way to do this. And so all of our products that we've built has been in service of that. How can we lead and accelerate prosperity in the lives of our customers? And so what I think you're going to see is Fold really represents what a bank will look like, or a banking platform will look like in 10, 15 years. We've pulled that timeline way up. You know, we have SAB 121 was just overturned, which essentially allows banks to custody and hold Bitcoin. Now, just because they can legally doesn't mean they will, or doesn't mean they have a strategy. And most importantly, doesn't mean they actually can operationally execute it. And I think a lot of them are going to see what Fold is ultimately going to do is show the way of what a banking institution looks like. And it's not just magically changed because of Bitcoin. It's actually Bitcoin fundamentally changes the value exchange between customers and the bank, you know, the financial institution. The more value our customers have in rewards, the better for us. The more they will need a loan on that reward. The more they can buy a larger home, or the more that their family will be able to, you know, be able to be in a better spot that makes sure they're customers for longer. Now, compare that to any other reward program. Their main goal is to make sure your rewards are constantly cut to zero in any way possible. Then you think of savings accounts and Bitcoin. Our customers, just by holding Bitcoin, are outpacing their peers. And so for us, we want to accelerate that. So for us, we want to open up ways in which that savings that they've accrued is useful. We don't necessarily need to have everyone earning a 5% in treasuries when Bitcoin is around, right? We're opening up optionality for our customers, even if Fold is not getting the benefit of a treasury yield on top of it. Our customers are just getting wealthy 60% faster than using a treasury. That's where Fold wins. And you can really go down the line of the traditional financial stack. And the crazy thing is not just how it makes the lives of those that are accumulating Bitcoin better, but how it makes the business models of financial companies better, where we are both aligned and incentivized in mutually beneficial outcomes. It's not zero-sum games. It's not I'm a lender, you're a borrower, and we are always in contention. There are ways actually that bring alignment that will truly be the big changes that we see in terms of how we interact with our money, not just holding it, but how the world reorients around this new relationship.
If you are a Bitcoiner who likes earning Bitcoin, then why aren't you on Nostr yet? Seriously, what are you doing? Just like you shouldn't need to ask permission to use your money, you shouldn't need to ask permission to speak freely or get zapped Bitcoin. But that's exactly what you're doing if you're still stuck on centralized social media platforms where you cannot even be zapped Bitcoin. On Nostr, you can't be censored, you can't be banned, and you can't be de-boosted for saying words Elon doesn't like. And the vibes are just better. There's nowhere else you can end up having a casual conversation with the likes of Jack Dorsey or Lynn Alden. Or, you know, little old me. Nostr also has Bitcoin payments built in. Again, they're called zaps. So when you post a meme, a hot take, or a photo of your stake, people will zap you Bitcoin to show you they like it and find it valuable. You can find me on Nostr by going to primal.net/walker. And you can check out this podcast on Nostr by going to primal.net/titcoin. Primal has a built-in Bitcoin wallet, so you can literally get zapped by people for your posts, then use those sats to go buy a coffee or do whatever you want, all from the same app. Search for Primal in the App Store, go to primal.net, or check out any of the hundreds of other Nostr apps out there. You can freely switch between them anytime you want. So, come join the largest Bitcoin circular economy in the world and start zapping sats on Nostr. Whether you're buying Bitcoin on an exchange, earning Bitcoin rewards through Fold, or getting fat zaps on Nostr for your fire memes, you need to make sure you keep that Bitcoin safe for the long haul by going to bitbox.swiss/walker and using the promo code Walker to get yourself 5% off the fully open source, easy to use Bitcoin only Bitbox O2 hardware wallet. Bitcoin is just casually chilling around 0.1 million or 100K, as some say, but companies, nation states, and retail will soon pour in, and you know that your stack will be worth a heck of a lot more in fiat value in the future than it is today. So now is the perfect time to get your security locked down tight with Bitbox. And I cannot emphasize this enough, but the Bitbox O2 is easy as hell to use. Whether you're brand new to Bitcoin and it's your first time setting up a hardware wallet, so you're a little bit nervous, or you are a well-seasoned psychopath, it is Bitcoin only and again, fully open source. Don't trust me or Bitbox, head to their GitHub and verify that for yourself. When you go to bitbox.swiss/walker and use the promo code Walker, not only do you get 5% off, but you also help support this podcast. So thank you. I'm really glad you brought up the repeal of SAB 121 because that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, you know, a lot of the things that you're starting to offer as a financial services company, it really does start to look like a bank. And I think we Bitcoiners, we have like a, when we say the word bank, sometimes we get a bad taste in our mouth, you know, because we've been so jaded by the fiat banking system. But it's, you know, banks serve a useful function. It's just that they've really been completely, you know, kind of had that usefulness mostly destroyed and turned into very crooked institutions. And so I'm curious, you know, I mean, I think one of the things that Bitcoiners are very excited about in general is like securing, you know, lines of credit or securing loans based on Bitcoin holdings that they have. You seem to be kind of hinting at that a little bit earlier. Is that something that you guys are looking at in terms of kind of a one of the parts of the next evolution of your offerings?
Yeah, we see the credit card that we've announced and as really the first kind of step in our strategy in this direction. What do we know? We know that about 60% of our users believe they need to access a line of credit or loan on their Bitcoin in the next 12 months to fulfill basic life needs, right? So this is a very present need for our customers, which means it's a present need for us to help fulfill. And so the credit card really represents the first step. And what does that mean? It's an unsecured line of credit. You don't even have to put your Bitcoin up as collateral and risk liquidation and all the stress of margin calls and high interest rates and for putting up your Bitcoin. And we're offering a very simple unsecured credit product. So that alone is going to open up access to credit and value for our customers in ways that don't always exist for them. The second thing is we start to look at, well, how can we use Bitcoin as a way to have a larger understanding of credit worthiness. Today, we have credit scores that are out there that are essentially there to chop up, you know, who is eligible for money and who is not. And it's essentially a caste system in many ways that not only do you, the only way to get your credit score up is to take on more debt, but if you mess up at all, your ability as an economic actor in society plummets. Your ability to draw credit is one of the most important things an economic individual has at their disposal. And we believe Bitcoin could open up this very archaic concept of a credit score to create not only a better signal for credit worthiness. I can see this person has accumulated this much Bitcoin that we can engage in a multi-sig arrangement that allows us to protect and enforce that credit worthiness. So I think there's an interesting thing there. There's also an interesting thing of how does Bitcoin allow us to redefine lenders and borrowers in their relationship? And so I kind of look at this as V1 of loans, which we've seen from, you know, you name it. Some don't exist anymore, but some are still around. But you put up Bitcoin as collateral, you're getting some kind of loan to value that's pretty restrictive, if it's too generous, it can get you in a little bit of trouble. But then you have margin call risk, liquidation risk. You know, we just had a couple huge swings in Bitcoin to the upside and downside. That's just not a great relationship when you have your Bitcoin locked up in a loan, and suddenly you're being liquidated. I don't believe that's a mass market product. I don't also believe that the interest rates you get as a result of locking up your Bitcoin are really high compared to the risk you're taking by putting up your Bitcoin. So I think all of this is kind of V1. If your Bitcoin is able to be liquidated, I think that's V1 loans. And if your interest rates are higher than, you know, what you could get on your fiat, that's a V1 loan. That's kind of first chapter. What Fold is looking at is what's the next chapter for loans? And it is not the typical collateralized loan with margin calls and liquidation risk. We say, well, Bitcoin is a long-term, we have a long-term view on Bitcoin, and so do our customers. So let's create loans that are longer term. Let's create loans that actually, with the long term, allow us to handle short-term volatility so that it doesn't create a scary or anxious product experience and doesn't create a relationship for us where we are incentivized to go and take that from our customers. And by taking a long-term loan, we can have a longer relationship. That means we can draw down interest rates in many ways. And there's also potential of, hey, can we bake in Bitcoin into that loan where the company, the lender, it gets a share of the appreciation of your Bitcoin over time in return for a much lower interest rate. So you go from a down payment of $10,000 a month to a down payment of $3,000 a month. For some people, that makes sense depending on what their cash flow situation is. And so this credit card is really the first shot across the bow of a series of kind of work that we're going to do in this space. But we believe that really getting Bitcoin loans right requires a totally different perspective than what's been taken thus far. And I think you're going to see a proliferation of what I would call kind of first generation Bitcoin lending opportunities come to market. But what Fold is going to look at is really what is the long-term status of a Bitcoin loan that truly changes the dynamic between lenders and borrowers. And that is the product that's really going to win. And I think we have the team to really do that.
And it seems like too, you know, you mentioned just because these SAB 121 has been repealed, just because the banks now technically have the ability to do this, it's not like they can just snap their fingers and make this happen overnight, or are willing, or, you know, even want to. They're maybe not willing and maybe certainly not able yet. They don't have the infrastructure in place. They certainly don't have a ton of Bitcoiners working for them. Maybe that number is growing just as Bitcoin grows. But it's kind of interesting. I kind of have this sense that, okay, even with the changing regulatory environment, it feels like a lot of these big incumbent players are going to be really slow to offer some of these products that we know the market wants. But they were slow to get Bitcoin in the first place, right? Like, they, you know, it took a lot of, it took Larry Fink getting out there and, you know, making some very strong statements for people in the TradFi world to pay attention. But the interesting thing I think about Fold is you guys are trying to play in the same arena, but you're coming from a completely different starting point. You're coming from the position of a Bitcoin company, made of Bitcoiners, by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners, basically. And it just seems like you guys have more of an advantage in this because you're also, you're smaller, you can move a little bit quicker, and you actively know what products your customers want because you guys are yourselves customers of your own products. Like, you have these struggles, it's like, even right now, I think a lot of Bitcoiners are in the position where it's like, at least in America, I can't speak for other countries, but if you want to get a loan and you need to show some assets, it's like, you will not be able to use Bitcoin as to show, banks won't even look at it. It doesn't matter if you're a Bitcoin millionaire in fiat terms. They'll just say, no, sorry, we don't look at that. So you may have all of this capital, but you actually have no way to kind of be able to utilize that capital to live your life in a lot of ways. Because let's be honest, we're not hyper Bitcoinized yet. You can't pay for everything in Bitcoin. It's just the reality. And so I think these products are really important, and it's kind of exciting to see too. Are you guys, how many total customers do you guys have right now, just with the debit card products?
So in our latest filing in the process of going public, we were able to, at foldapp.com/investors, we have a kind of overview of the company. So in that, we have over 600,000 Bitcoin accounts, Bitcoin savers. And what that is really a reflection of where we were many, many months ago. And what we see today is just like we saw in 2021 and 2021, where We have a new wave coming in. There's no doubt that more people are looking to save and acquire Bitcoin. And, you know, Fold's going to be there. And I think to your point earlier about the incumbents, do they have the ability to move into this space? You know, we have the innovator's dilemma is in full force here. That is not going to be, you know, disproven because these other banks. In fact, probably going to be even more true in their challenge to do anything about this. And for us, it's really been just pure focus. We've only focused on Bitcoin. It's the only asset that can reasonably provide us to deliver on our essential mission to build the long-term savings and wealth of our customers. There's no other asset, that a digital asset or else, that we feel accomplishes that. And the vision is that Fold has plenty of runway before these incumbents come in any meaningful way, but also the amount of and type of customers that we have coming in, developing the relationship that we had here, being the one that's going to help them get access to their next home, the one that helped them earn enough for a down payment purely out of the rewards they earned on their Bitcoin. For us, we're developing decades-long relationships with our customers. And these customers, because they've chosen to save in Bitcoin, whether they made that decision today or they made that decision 10 years ago, this is the most valuable customer base any financial institution could ever want. Because they're not only are they have qualities, you know, typically they're 35 to 55, they're just starting families, they're just building either their own business or coming into larger incomes. They have much of their net worth is in Bitcoin. These customers are just going to be requiring premium level financial services that are only going to exist at companies like Fold. And that relationship that we're starting by being a first mover, by being there with them early, I think will be something that the other incumbents can't catch up to. The user base and the relationship and the brand we're creating today is going to put us in a position where our customer base in 10 years from now, their savings and wealth will be 10, 100x of what it is today. And that provides, as a business, incredible opportunity for us, but also for our customers. You know, we're going to know their needs better than the incumbents will. Like they just aren't used to, they're used to customers whose wealth is debased every year. They're used to customers who are earning rewards who are debased every year. The financial system exists on the idea of debasing your own customer. And in Fold's world, it's the exact opposite. It's how can we build up and how can we accelerate that build for our customers? And I think it's really that basic, different approach, which is going to make it inevitable that we are going to win.
It's such an interesting thing because obviously Bitcoin, the beauty of it, right, is that it does not require trust in a third party. But there are a lot of things as you go about your life where you realize, okay, I do need to trust in a third party for this, whether that be, you know, for, we talked about loans earlier, you know, securing a loan for a home, something like that. You do need to find a third party that you can supply some extra capital that you can trust or trust a little bit. And I just have to imagine that thinking of myself, also thinking of other Bitcoiners, it's like, who am I going to trust if I want to get a loan against my Bitcoin? Am I going to trust, you know, JP Morgan Chase, with Jamie Dimon, who has consistently just ragged on Bitcoin? Am I going to trust that guy? Or am I going to trust the company by Bitcoiners and for Bitcoiners? It's like, it's a pretty easy calculus, I think, for Bitcoiners. Like if you have to do some amount of trust, well, you're going to trust fellow Bitcoiners before you're going to trust some fiat banker. At least that's my read on that.
And that's, you know, right now, what do they have? Well, they have JP Morgan, great example, has a record of being around for a long time. They're Lindy, right? So to some extent, they have developed that just built in, people trust them. But as the longer they wait to jump into this space, the more that the Bitcoin brands are going to start to develop not only that same long track record. I mean, the fact that Fold, you know, if you look at Fold when we start 2019, 2020, I would look around and I would see about six or seven very well-funded direct competitors to us. Those competitors, in many ways, were BlockFi, Voyager, FTX, Celsius, and a few others that I'm generously leaving off the list don't exist anymore. And why is that? Is because we've taken an approach to risk and to focus that not only put us in a position to survive, but thrive through this process. And, you know, we are going to continue to build and earn that trust, build that time, that timeline as a financial services company that will be here and that has been here and that has been tested. And I am very proud of the track record that we have today. I'm proud of the other Bitcoin companies that, you know, I'm, you know, close with the other founders who have managed this same journey. And that advantage that the incumbents have about being around longer will start to wane compared to as we build our own reputations, alongside the fact of our focus is to build your wealth, not to debase it. And eventually customers are just going to look at that single fact, that value proposition, and it's going to be abundantly clear about who they're going to align with. And once that happens, that is when JP Morgan Chase decides to have a Bitcoin strategy.
That's when Jamie Dimon all of a sudden switches his tune and says, actually, you know, yeah, okay, Bitcoin's not so bad. Give us your Bitcoin. Come on, bring it on
exactly.
In here.
Exactly.
Let us take care of it. Yeah. No, I'm curious too, because, you know, yeah, these incumbent players are bigger. Obviously they've been the behemoths, right? The biggest bullies in the schoolyard for decades. But at the same time, you guys are going to be a publicly traded company soon. You're going to have different capital raising, you know, very fiat capital raising ways that you can go about acquiring more capital. And I know you guys already have a Bitcoin treasury. I think you've got, correct me if I'm wrong, over 1,000 Bitcoin already in that treasury. Is that correct?
Yeah. So today, Fold has 1,000. That puts us out of the top 25 Bitcoin treasury in the world.
Which is incredible. And I think this, you know, we've seen this Bitcoin treasury strategy for private companies. Obviously, it works well. For publicly traded companies, there's an additional kind of X factor there. Sailor has proved that very well. You've seen Metaplanet, Semler Scientific, a host of others now that are, you know, kind of smaller names that have sort of jumped on board. A lot of these were, quote, zombie companies, to use, I think, Eric Semler's words himself. You guys are not that. You're coming into the, you know, the stock market now. You're going to be tradable for people. You're going to be able to raise more capital. I mean, is the goal with that to really be able to kind of use some of those fiat instruments to go with that Sailor playbook to really kind of spin up the capital accumulation? But by capital, I mean, you know, acquire fiat capital and then convert to Bitcoin capital.
Yeah, I mean, short answer is yes. Longer answer is, you know, Fold is been a Bitcoin company with the express mission of building the long-term savings and wealth of our customers through Bitcoin. Us not doing that as a company ourselves is not practicing what we preach and would be a very big gap. And so Fold has always believed that having a Bitcoin treasury was important, not only because that is our business to help our customers and to be aligned with our customers, but we also believe it is a path to durability and sustainability for a business. And so long before the Sailor playbook, there was just this idea of Bitcoin companies holding Bitcoin treasuries because it was good for the business and good for your customers. And we are definitely excited about the fact of what Sailor and the kind of others have done by showing what you can do as a public market company. And so Fold really is first and foremost, an operating company that builds the wealth of its customers. And as they build their wealth, we build our wealth. So as Fold's business lines, you know, throw off cash, we are able to direct those into Bitcoin. So we can accumulate Bitcoin very, very efficiently over the course of our business operations, which is not true of any of the other kind of Bitcoin treasury companies. At the same time, there is a playbook out there, and we certainly intend to follow it. We have seen just absolutely incredible demand for these types of relationships and partnerships. And so I think Fold is going to both be something that's set apart because the business itself generates Bitcoin. At the same time, we are going to be able to take advantage of the tools that have really allowed others to accelerate their Bitcoin treasury strategy. And so Fold, between the combination of those two, I think has a really strong story and a really strong foundation to continue our trajectory. You know, we're 1,000 today, top 25. I think it's a great, great idea for us to be a top 10. I would love to see that. I would love to see Fold to be a top 5. And because of, again, like you said, of where we come from day one versus entering this from a difference, you know, from a kind of an indirect way, I think also gives us certain advantages in this space that will soon be borne out. And, you know, I'm excited very much to continue stacking Bitcoin in our treasury at the same time of helping our customers do the same thing.
You guys are going public. Is it a reverse SPAC? Is that what the mechanism is for it?
So it is a SPAC. It is run by one of the most successful SPAC sponsors out there. Obviously, SPACs have a checkered history, but Betsy Cohen, who is an absolute pioneer and legend in the financial services space, she has pioneered internet banking at all. She pioneered the idea of digital financial services delivering them online. Fold represents to her, and we've had a great relationship. She's dialed in that she gets Bitcoin. She, unlike Jamie Dimon, unlike those that took a while, she gets it. And it's just from her career of understanding how financial services and money evolves with technology. And so it was a perfect match for us. And, we will be a public company over the next, and very short term. And we're excited to be able to announce that. And, you know, what's important to us, though, is that mission one is to build the wealth of our customers. And if we do that, we will build value for our shareholders through accumulating more Bitcoin into our treasury. If one, then two. And we're very clear that we're not just a company that's slapping Bitcoin on it for a booster. We're a Bitcoin company from our principles and our ethics. And we intend to bring a different approach to Wall Street in a way that reflects this. And things that you think about are, you know, you have the idea of the kind of fiat quarterly earnings hamster wheel. In Bitcoin, we have this idea of a four-year cycle. And we bring this idea of a low time preference, high time preference. And so for us, it's very new for a company like us to enter public markets. It's going to be turbulent. It's going to be fun. Things are going to take a while for the market to understand who we are, our story, what Bitcoin is, why we're different. But ultimately, I think what we emerge out of that is an incredible story of long-term alignment with our customers who happen to be accumulating wealth faster than anyone else in the world. And as because of that, Fold and our customers are the most valuable thing to hit Wall Street in the last decade. And so I think it's going to be a change of from principles standpoint, but also from business models. And so this is why I think we're getting a lot of interest in terms of partnership, in terms of understanding what our roadmap is, how others can be helpful. And I think it's a lot because the story is very different from the ground up. And you can take, hey, it's kind of like a fintech in this way. It's kind of like a Bitcoin equity in this way. It's kind of like a miner in this way. And we kind of sit in our own lane. And my favorite thing about that is we get to tell our own story. It's going to take a while to tell that story, but we're not here. One good thing about having 100 million or 1,000 Bitcoin in our treasury is that we get to take the time to tell that story right. We don't have to take fiat shortcuts to do things anymore.
I think that's kind of just a beautiful thing. And I'm curious, I mean, because the way you talk and the way that you guys operate as a company is obviously very different from the fiat mindset. Like, yes, you're going to be going, you'll be listed in the stock market. Stock markets are not inherently bad by any means. They've certainly gotten a bad rap because of all the shenanigans, for lack of a better word, that goes on there, because of all of the, insider abuses and things like that. But I mean, do you see, like, both from your own perspective, but then as other Bitcoin companies start, you know, not just, and again, not just talking about like a zombie company that's acquiring Bitcoin, but talking about Bitcoin companies like Fold, like others coming up and becoming publicly traded companies. Do you think there starts to be a larger kind of perspective shift in the market where maybe, I mean, both people who are looking to purchase equity in that company, but also just companies themselves start to take a little bit of a look inward and say, you know, like there's a new standard? Or is that just me being a little bit of a, you know, naive dreamer Bitcoiner here?
No, I mean, it going back to the idea of like there's a fundamental difference in what Bitcoin does, not just because you had the asset in your company, but because you let Bitcoin express itself in the ways that it's bringing new things to the world. You allow Bitcoin to show its alignment between the service provider and the person taking advantage of the service. If you let that breathe, you start to see crazy things start to happen. And what you see on the stock market today is you have the likes of Apple or some of the largest equities, any of the Mag 7s out there, who are flush with cash. And what they need to do, they need every quarter, they need to burn a lot of that cash to give the perspective to their equity holders that growth will come out of that from somewhere. And so what that does is sometimes it works. And for the best operators, it works just enough to keep them number one. For everyone else, it really represents a terrible misallocation of capital. People are just burning capital in the idea that they can create an aura of growth for their company or take a Hail Mary long shot at something. Now, then on the other side, you have Michael Saylor who said, wait, we're not going to spend money on anything except Bitcoin. And we're really not going to have a core business that has a future in many ways, at least as it was, you know, in the original conception of MicroStrategy. But their runway, their capital is expanding rapidly. So instead of they're able to have their own shareholders say, I'm looking at this company on a 4-decade horizon versus everyone else looking at other equities on a quarterly horizon. And if you're able to bridge that gap, a lot of different things happen. A different long-term alignment with companies start to happen that allows companies to truly invest in things that are major growth opportunities for them because you have the time to do it. It's not like you need to go burn $1 billion of cash and hope something happens in 90 days. And if it doesn't, go figure out the next shiny thing you're going to go burn money on. With Bitcoin and being a center part of a treasury and a business's sustainability lets you think far more in much longer time horizon, which we don't really even know what that's going to allow us to do and accomplish and be productive with. I think we will see the results of that. I think we can speculate on what that means because I think in various times in history, we have had nations or companies that have been able to orient themselves to a much longer time horizon. And that's when we get truly beautiful things built and truly phase shifts happening in business models and outcomes. And we're going to get to see more of that. At the same time, we don't have this horrible misallocation of capital, this ritual cash burning that happens every 90 days. I think there's a lot. It's such a fundamental change that we're going to see where it goes, but it's going to be big.
Do you think that some of, you know, the Mag 7 types, the ones that are very much, you know, like they have more cash than they know what to do with, they are the biggest of the big, they basically keep the whole stock market afloat. Do you think they're going to be some of the last to kind of adopt a Bitcoin standard? Or is there the chance for even a company like, let's say, Facebook, which is still, you know, founder-led, founder with a massive stake in the company, is that maybe a possibility for one of those behemoths to get on a Bitcoin standard earlier? How do you see that playing out in the larger context of these publicly traded companies?
I mean, I think we saw it just the other day when Tesla out of nowhere added another, 1,800 Bitcoin to their balance sheet. Out of nowhere, right? It wasn't like there wasn't a big thing about it. It just kind of happened. And I don't think we're going to see them flip into a Bitcoin standard. That's far too jarring for any organization to do that comes from very, fiat origins. What you are going to see is more of that happening, just kind of popping up here, there. And ultimately, you're going to start having the analysts start to kind of compare what happens as a result of this, which is going to create its own internal competition, very much like we're seeing with the non-Mag 7 long tail Bitcoin leverage Bitcoin equities, start to compete on bringing in 500 Bitcoin, bringing in 1,000 Bitcoin, bringing in 100,000 Bitcoin. You're going to see that escalation. You can go look at Saylor's own escalation in Bitcoin buying. It looks like a hockey stick. Like most of the buying has been in the last couple months, right? But he's been doing it for years. So I think you'll see it like that, where it's gradually then suddenly, and it's going to happen with these really isolated pops and these, oh, that's interesting. Microsoft, bought 10,000 Bitcoin, something like that. And that's where it's going to start.
Where do you think we're at in this cycle? Just in terms of, I think there's, at least from what I've seen, sentiment on social media, even just talking to, let's say, normie friends, my sense is that, quote, retail isn't here yet. But you guys are obviously, you see a different kind of side of that that Bitcoin buyer. You see some people are coming in from a different angle. Do you think that we're still kind of waiting to see retail come in this cycle? Are we right now at sort of just a consolidation phase and we're still, things are about to get kind of wild? Or does this happen in a more orderly way? How do you see this playing out over kind of, let's say, the next couple of years?
So from our experience, when you look in the market generally in terms of, you can go look at, Coinbase's quarterlies or Robinhood's or Cash App's and these others, retail is here or not is driven entirely by very sharp emotional swings in price. And for us, what we see today is we definitely see retail is waking up. But when people say retail's not here yet, what they're actually referring to are the manias of 2017, 2021, of these all-time high kickers that come through. And exchanges are seeing 100,000 signups happening every 10 minutes. That's the level of mania. That's not where we are. And largely, a lot of the activity is, as we talked about earlier, is all happening at the brokerage ETF level. And so you are seeing the retail mania happen just from brokerage accounts, just switching over, repositioning out of whatever Mag 7 into some IBIT or a retirement account into this. Like, that's the retail mania that we are seeing there. It's silent because these are just investors kind of repositioning, and we've seen the power that has had on how much Bitcoin these ETFs are relentlessly buying, and even leverage Bitcoin equity plays like MicroStrategy, how much retail is behind a lot of their success. And so we're looking at it from that perspective. We're seeing it happen in other areas, and I would say it's almost at mania levels over there, but we have yet to see that mania come in directly into spot Bitcoin coming in, where you see those huge blows off the top. Now, I think it's going to be different because a lot of the, in previous cycles, the funnels were these, these Bitcoin exchanges, and everyone had to fit through those doors, go through those KYC and everything like that. And that squeezed a lot of demand and very concentrated sprays into this, which would create violent upticks in from retail participation. But because everyone already has a brokerage account, we're seeing this very evenly happen daily. And it's just like, the buying for the ETFs is just relentless. And so that's the big story there. The exits, the entranceways are now much bigger than they were. They're already existing. People have already gone through that entrance. You're not asking them to go through some new door they've never been through. And so I think we're going to continue to see this, because at a certain point, what is happening now is we're exhausting the sell pressure from deeply long-term holders who are cycling out. And once that funnel is done, that's when you're going to get an inevitable pop of supply that's going to happen. And all entrances are going to be sought by everybody. How do I earn Bitcoin on rewards? How do I convert my paycheck into Bitcoin? How do I convert my retirement account into Bitcoin? How do I convert some of my business treasury into Bitcoin? And all of those doors, all of those products are here today. Go back, 5 years ago, most of those products weren't here today. So you're just going to have a much broader absorption of a much larger tranche of capital. And the only thing standing away of price appreciation at that point is really, when do the bears get exhausted? When do the people who are selling out get exhausted? And that day will come.
It's certainly going to be an interesting time coming up. Speaking of time, though, Will, I want to be conscious of yours. I know it's a big day for you, and you've got a lot on. I want to maybe just, if we can wrap up with one more thing. So for folks who have been listening, and I really appreciate your time also, this was extremely enjoyable. Go check out the credit card. I'll put the link to sign up for the wait list in the show notes here. People can go check it out. But I think a great place to end is maybe just for somebody who is, looking at this or maybe they're a normie. I guess, what is your pitch to somebody for why check out this Fold credit card versus all the other options that they have out there? Why is this the best for them for their future?
Yeah, I think, everyone is busy. We have our lives, we have families, we have behaviors, we have schedules, and it's understood that people aren't always up to speed on what I believe is the biggest revolution facing people today, or in many, 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 many centuries. And today we have one of those, and that's Bitcoin. It's actually fine that you may not totally understand everything about it, but at the same point, today, you can get rid of an airline miles card that you've been carrying in your pocket forever, that every year, without doubt, is devaluing the points that you have earned, that at the same time is devaluing the service that they're giving to you. And you can exchange that for something that cannot be debased, that is yours, gives you a passive way to earn. And I think starting that journey is going to lead you to the understanding of why Bitcoin is so important. It's going to tell you about being able to self-custody. It's going to tell you about scarcity. It's going to teach you about fiat, and you'll go through that learning process. And so we don't all have time. And this is one of the great things, is because you can simply adopt this product without putting any risk or capital on the line or any time on the line and start that process. And that process, the earlier you start it, the better position your family is going to be in.
If I wasn't sold already, I'd be sold again by that. Will, man, thank you so much. I'll drop your X account in the show notes as well. We got to get you on Noster, by the way, but I'll save that for another day when you're not quite as busy. I'll drop the link for the credit card for anyone who wants to sign up for the wait list. Really, thank you so much for your time. This was a blast chatting with you. We're going to have to do this again, because I think you guys are going to have a lot to you have a lot going on right now between the credit card waitlist, the launch upcoming. Can you tell us anything, just last thing, then I promise I'll let you go, timing wise for when people start being able to actually get off the waitlist and start using this card? Can you share that at all, or roughly ballpark?
So there are several factors involved with this, but when we launched this waitlist, we wanted the ability to reach as many people as possible, to let them know about this and get it to them as quickly as possible. So for us, this is not we'll see you next year. This is not a see you in 6 months. This is something that we're intending to bring to people very quickly after they went through the process of putting their name on the wait list and starting. And so we wanted to give back too, that in the meantime, there's over $200,000 worth of Bitcoin and other prizes that we're just giving away to people who are climbing the list. So for that, That's what we are going to give you for the patience you have, but really this is right around the corner.
That is great to hear, because I am sick of my airline miles. So I'm super stoked about this product. Will, seriously, thank you so much for joining here today. It was a pleasure to chat with you. Congrats on the waitlist launch, and I'm very much looking forward to the official launch. Anything else you want to leave folks with, or how'd we do? I think we covered a lot.
That was the beginning. We'll find ourselves in strange places and let it roll. And I think that's exactly what happened.
All right, man. Well, hey, thank you again for your time. I appreciate it. And looking forward to catching up, hopefully in the flesh, again soon.
Thank you, Walker. Always a pleasure.
And that's a wrap on this Bitcoin Talk episode of the Bitcoin Podcast. If you are a Bitcoin-only company interested in sponsoring the Bitcoin Podcast, head to bitcoinpodcast.net/sponsor or send an email to hello@bitcoinpodcast.net. If you are enjoying the Bitcoin Podcast and find it valuable, give it a boost on Fountain, a 5-star review wherever you're listening, or better yet, share this show with your network so more people can learn about Bitcoin. Or don't. Bitcoin doesn't care, but I sure do appreciate it. You can grab links in the show notes to watch or list this show wherever you get your podcasts, or go to bitcoinpodcast.net/podcast. And you'll also find the links to follow me and the show on Noster and on X. Bitcoin is scarce. There will only ever be 21 million. But Bitcoin podcasts are abundant. So thank you for spending your scarce time to listen to the Bitcoin Podcast. Until next time, stay free.